Presenting Charles Boyer.
Qui passait sans me voir.
Allô, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel.
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting a new series starring Charles Boyer as Michel. If you're planning a tour of Paris, you'll certainly see Michel, for he is a landmark. You might almost call Michel a symbol of Paris, for he's witty and charming, a man of the world, just as Paris is a city of the world. Perhaps you'll be introduced to him as a baron or a duke, but to his friends, he's merely Michel, a lover of life, a liver of life. There he is now, entering that fashionable Parisian restaurant. His head is as high as a millionaire's, but his stomach is as empty as a street urchin's.
Good evening, Mr. Conway.
Michel, I didn't see you come in. I was wrestling with my dinner. Escargot Parisien.
Ah, delicious. The chef here prepares them brilliantly. A masterpiece of cuisine.
They're fine as long as you say them in French. But they don't sound quite as delicious in English. Paris snails.
Well, the stomach has a language all its own, my friend.
I suppose you're angling for an invitation. You want a free meal?
Certainly not. Merely trade. Starry for a mess of pottage.
Well, I'll be frank with you, Michel. The American magazines are howling for good stories. I'm as hungry for a good yarn as you are for a steaming bowl of bouillabaisse.
You know, if I were a fortune teller, I would say I see $200 in my immediate future. And I see from my friend Bart Conway, royalties unlimited, from his story I shall tell him. A magazine will print it, and every woman in America will laugh a little and cry a little as she sits and reads it under a hairdryer.
All right, Michel, sit down. Waiter, bring the menu. What about the future, Michel? Can the future really be read?
Why not? The past is something nobody in France ever discusses in public. The present, well, an interlude to be lived, to be enjoyed. Ah, but the future. Hope. Tomorrow. The most beautiful word in any language. Say to a woman, à demain, until tomorrow, and tomorrow immediately becomes the most romantic day in her life. Tomorrow, everything beautiful will happen.
This all leads, I trust, to a story.
It does. Perhaps the title might be The Adventure of the Fortune Teller Fortune.
Go on.
Tell me, do you know Montmartre? On a hilltop above it sits the Church of the Sacré-Cœur. It is said that nobody has lived until he sees Paris at sunset from this enchanted hillside. It is so beautiful that legend has it that the angels live there when they visit the earth. But go down a long flight of stairs, and it is like a descent into the inferno. For just in sight of the Sacré-Cœur and the home of the angels, some of the worst devils live. The charlatans of the world. There is one in particular, Madame Gobineau, a gypsy fortune teller.
Madame Gobineau reads the future. All of your life ahead is mapped out on your palm, or in the cards, or in the tea leaves, or in the crystal ball which only Madame Gobineau can read. Come, see the future, see the future.
Madame Gobineau, her face was like parchment. Her eyes, two flaming coals, jet black, but burning with fire. Men said she was evil, but Madame Gobineau always amused me.
See the future, see. Why, Michel.
Oh, good evening, Madame Gobineau. How is the fortune-telling business?
From fortune-telling, one does not make a fortune, unfortunately.
Oh, you know, if I had a few francs, I would patronize you just for the amusement, even though I know you are a fake.
To prove to you I am no fake, I shall read your palm without charge on the house.
Oh, Well, I would lose my reputation if I refused an offer as, shall we say, inexpensive as that.
Come into my tent.
Oh, thank you.
Now sit down and give me your right hand in which I shall read the future.
You know, I believe that all you can read in my hand is my immediate past. And by that, I mean that I washed it this morning.
Silence. Ah, this is a wonderful palm. You see the mound of Venus? Full. There is much love in your life, Michel. You are a great lover of love.
Well, that's true, but for what Frenchman is that not true?
By nature, you are lazy, but can be energetic by fits and starts. You can be led, but not driven.
Now, there is a generality that would fit any human being on the face of the earth.
You will travel across water.
Of course I will travel across water. I cross the River Seine 6 times a day.
You will meet a statuesque blonde.
Oh, statuesque blonde. A pretty phrase. What man with eyes in his head can walk along the street and not meet a statuesque blonde? And tell me, what, you old fig, do you tell your women customers?
That they will meet a tall, dark, and handsome man.
Now, why is it always a tall, dark, and handsome man? Is there no place in the world for short, light, and ugly men?
Why should you worry, Michel?
Now, will you give me back my palm, please? You know as much about the future as a child in kindergarten knows about the theory of relativity.
One must make a living. Oh, but business has never been this bad. This summer, the tourists have come to Paris to forget the future, to live fully for today. But if one had a reputation, if one had the proper publicity... Michel, I have an idea. Both of us can make a fortune.
Oh, this is the kind of future which interests me.
If I make a prediction, and this prediction comes true, a buzz of gossip will begin. Americans always stick together. They seem to come to Paris merely to see each other. In the lobbies of hotels at the American Express office, people will talk. Have you not heard of the remarkable fortune teller, Madame Gobineau, they will say? All her predictions come true.
Unfortunately, I'm not Aladdin. I cannot grant wishes.
Oh, nothing that complicated. I will predict a tall, dark, and handsome stranger. Pooh! You appear. You are tall, you are dark, you are handsome.
That's not a bad idea.
My fee to the tourists, 3,000 francs. Your share, Michel, 1,000 francs.
1,500.
Oh, but think of all the free meals you will get.
Yes, but think of all the fat women.
Oh, you faker. All right, 1,500. Shake palm.
So, our little deal began. You might say that I was an accomplice in the gentle art and fraud of fortune-telling.
How many women did you fool?
Not many. 3 in all. Or perhaps you might say only 2. But I'm getting ahead of my story. Well, that very night, a rather frightened middle-aged lady appeared at Madame Gobineau's and had her fortune told. She was a school teacher from America. Mm. Fortunately, not fat. As a matter of fact, perhaps a trifle too thin. You know, the kind of thinness which comes from teaching Latin to 12-year-olds for too many years.
Uh-huh.
And Madame Gobineau predicted that a tall, dark, and handsome stranger was about to appear in her life.
But how did you suddenly appear?
Well, there are ways to do it, my friend. So it seems like an accident. One does it with a manner. I bumped into her. Literally bumped into her.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, I beg your pardon, mademoiselle. Oh, it was entirely my fault.
Oh.
I was dreaming. I am a dreamer, I'm afraid. But, oh, how strange it is. I was dreaming of an American girl. One who looks remarkably like you. And you are an American also, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, I suppose this dreaming of mine comes from loneliness. You see, I'm here in Paris, all alone. One should never be alone in this magic city. I trust that you are not alone.
Well, I am alone at the moment. I'm with 2 friends from America.
Oh, well, perhaps then you would do me the favor, mademoiselle, of helping to overcome my loneliness by joining me for a liqueur. There is a little cafe just around the corner with the most romantic music in Paris.
You know, it's the most remarkable thing. A fortune teller told me I was going to meet a man who was... And you are...
I am what, mademoiselle?
You are tall and dark, and if you'll forgive my saying so, pulchrissima.
Which means?
It's Latin. It means very handsome.
Oh, thank you, mademoiselle. And you are like the American woman I never met, who was only in my dream. You will join me for perhaps just one dance?
Why, yes. Yes, I will.
Oh, thank you. It will be something to tell your friends about.
Well, they'll never believe me. You see, they don't think it's possible to predict the future. I think when they hear what's happened to me, they'll change their minds.
And you know, Mr. Conway, she danced remarkably well for a Latin teacher.
Wow.
And later in the evening, Madame Gobineau paid up. The next evening, my Latin teacher's roommate appeared at Madame Gobineau's to have her future predicted. Mr. Conway, you will never guess what the marvelous Madame of Montmartre predicted this time.
A tall, dark, and handsome stranger, naturally.
Naturally. She predicted a customer would dance on a cloud with a romantic stranger in the most enchanted café in Paris. Mm. And sure enough, a short hour later, Miss Madeline Curtis of Patrick Henry Junior High School, Cleveland, Ohio, was in that same enchanted café dancing with a romantic stranger. Me.
What difficult work.
By the way, I also made a side deal with the owner of the enchanted café. He gave me what you Americans call a kickback.
Oh, tough, tough.
Well, who could lose from such an arrangement? The Americans were getting a touch of romance. I was getting
a touch.
Mr. Conway, you know I don't like that word.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was Miss Curtis like?
A geometry teacher. Unfortunately, she danced a little too geometrically.
That music is wonderful.
And you dance divinely, Miss Curtis.
Thank you. We've seen so many museums and ancient ruins and old masters that I'd forgotten there was any youngless nest in Europe.
Oh, but you will find a younger spirit in the oldest cities in the world.
I suppose it's wrong, really, to be dancing with someone you've only just met.
Not at all.
You know, one of my roommates, Miss Graves, had a similar experience last night. She went to this fortune teller, Madame Gobineau, her name is. Do you know her?
Madame, no, I'm afraid I don't take much stock in fortune tellers.
Oh, you're wrong. Well, last night, this fortune teller predicted Helen, that's Miss Graves, would meet a handsome stranger, and sure enough, she did.
Oh, coincidence.
He took her to a romantic cafe. She couldn't even pronounce the name, but from her description of it, it wasn't anywhere near as romantic as this one.
How could it be?
She was quite taken with her escort. She thought he was the most handsome man in Paris.
Oh, really? I wonder if I know him.
And tonight, Madame Gobineau predicted that I would meet you.
You mean she mentioned me by name?
Oh, no. But her description of you was perfect. The dreamy eyes, the suave manner.
Your Madame Gobineau is seeing too many American movies.
When I tell Helen about you, it'll make her escort look sick.
Oh, I don't know. From what you say, her stranger must have had his points, too.
Oh, I'm sure you're much better looking and much more charming. Oh, this dance you're doing is very nice. One, two, three, and step. You know, it's rather like an isosceles triangle, or a large rectangle, and on the fourth step, you cross the hypotenuse.
Yep, so it is. Well, shall we return to our table, Miss Curtis, and have a bottle of champagne?
I'd love to. You know, I didn't take much stock in fortune-telling either. I just went to Madame Gobineau's tonight to keep Ruth from going.
Ruth?
That's Miss Ward, my other roommate.
Oh, and she's also a school teacher?
Yes, she teaches English literature. She's the reason Helen and I came to Europe.
Oh.
I made Helen take Ruth to the ballet tonight. You know, I don't want Ruth to see this fortune teller because now I think she really can predict the future.
Oh, I see nothing wrong in a little innocent fortune telling. It's a lark, an amusement.
Well, you see, Ruth hasn't long to live.
Oh.
But she doesn't know about it. We've kept it a secret from her. We pooled all our savings to bring her to Paris for a good time, so that she could have a taste of life before, well, she can.
I see. Miss Curtis, you are a geometry teacher, and your friend Helen teaches
Latin.
Geometry, Latin. These things seem a long way from the heart. But what you two are doing,
is very wonderful.
Well, it's not easy for school teachers to cut loose. I'd like Ruth to have the fun of going to a fortune teller, but, oh, I'm afraid Madame Gobineau is just too accurate. She'll see death in Ruth's palm.
No, I think not. You see, there is a code among Parisian fortune tellers.
Oh?
In this city of light, of happiness, they do not tell where they read of darkness or sorrow.
Oh, if I could be sure.
Be sure. Send Miss Waugh to the fortune teller.
Ah, Michel, business has been picking up, eh? You came to collect your fee.
No, I came to find out about something. Tell me, can you see death in a person's palm?
Sometimes. Sometimes it is there very clearly. The lifeline is broken. The lifeline cuts off abruptly.
Now, listen to me. Tonight, a third school teacher will be here to try to get a look into the future. No matter what you see in her hand, you are not to tell her anything sad.
Why, Michel, you were the one who did not believe in fortune-telling. It was all poppycock.
Well, perhaps I believe, perhaps I do not. That is no matter.
What has happened to you?
Oh, you and I were such fakes. Worse than that, we are selfish fakes. We meddle in the lives of human beings and we do it for profit. Well, we must do something to make up for it.
What do you want me to do?
Tonight, you must sing the words like a poet. You must be eloquent, even beautiful.
I've never seen you like this.
Now, listen. This one's name is Miss Ward. Miss Ruth Ward. She teaches at a school in the United States in the city of Cleveland. Her subject is English literature. The name of the school is... the name of an American statesman. Patrick Henry, that's it. Patrick Henry Junior High School.
This kind of information is very good for a fortune teller to have, because if you tell them a few truths, they begin to believe all the half-truths.
Exactly. You see, Miss Ward is sick. She does not have long to live. But she doesn't know this, and you are not to tell her.
Ah, I begin to see.
She will laugh. She will be loved. She will dance. She will lead a wonderful, rich life. You will tell her these things.
It would be a pleasure. Even fortune tellers enjoy telling happy fortunes.
She will find roses at her door each morning, orchids at night. She will wine and dine at the most glorious restaurants and clubs in Paris. There will be much laughter in her life. Be sure to say this. No pain, no sorrow. A golden tomorrow, rich in happiness.
And do I predict a tall, dark, handsome stranger who will bring her all these things?
No, you don't. She will meet a man who is quite average, quite an ordinary human being, a Frenchman who has been searching all his life for a kindred spirit, a scholar, perhaps, a lover of literature and music.
Oh, it's easy enough to predict. Words cost nothing, but roses and orchids are expensive, my friend. How is this scholar Frenchman going to manage?
You're going to advance me the money.
What?
I'll pay you back.
Such a joke's a joke. I won't do it.
If you don't, I shall expose you as a charlatan. I shall stand up in the lobby of the Grand Hotel and shout that Madame Gobineau is a fake.
I believe you would. This means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Yes, a great deal.
Then I shall be a poet for you, Michel. A poet and a banker. I shall predict in glowing words a golden tomorrow for Miss Ruth Ward of Patrick Henry Junior High School. Perhaps this will be the best publicity stunt of all.
Believe me, Mr. Conway, it was not a stunt. I merely wished to see if it were possible to make a few dreams come true, to bring a few moments of happiness to a little school teacher who did not have too many moments left. I stood in the darkness behind the curtains of Madame Gobineau's, and I watched the glow in the face of this woman from Patrick Henry Junior High School in Cleveland. What an eager face it was.
I see two initials. One is R.
Oh.
The other is... Wait, it's coming to me. Yes, W.
Oh.
The initials R.W.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, but you saw those initials on my handbag. No. I'm not carrying my monogrammed handbag. How did you know?
There are many things that come to us. Wait. I see children. Many children. You're standing in front of them. They are your children, yet they're not your children. You are a school teacher.
Oh, that's amazing.
The school. I see a name across the front of it. It is a strange name, one I have never heard. Patrick Henry?
Oh, that's the name of my school. Patrick Henry Junior High School. But somebody told you. My friends told you.
No.
Oh, well, then you're the most remarkable fortune teller ever.
Would you like to peer into the future?
Yes. Yes, I would.
The lifeline.
It seems to break off abruptly.
No, you are wrong. That indicates merely a change. You see how it goes on almost for all eternity, it seems? Oh, this is a happy hand. I see many things for you. Love and laughter, flowers from a secret admirer, roses and orchids. A Frenchman with a gentle soul like your own, who will show you Paris as only a Frenchman can see it.
In this case, I did not rush. I did not bound into her. For 3 days, I sent roses to her room, each morning, orchids each night. Then a note. I was an admirer. I wished to meet her. We met one gentle sunny afternoon in the garden of the Tuileries, where lovers have met since the days of kings. Oh, Miss Ward.
Hello.
Oh, I'm so glad you came. It was perhaps presumptuous of me to ask you to meet me here, but when I saw you on the street, looking so intently at my beautiful Paris, I knew I had to meet you, to help you see Paris.
I really came to thank you for the flowers. You did send them, didn't you?
Perhaps.
They're so beautiful. Oh. And Paris is so beautiful. I look at it and I want to cry.
Paris is like a woman. Paris laughs like a woman and weeps like a woman. Paris is a woman's heart.
Monsieur, I don't know why you're being so kind to me. I don't know how it's possible for things you wish for so many years to come true suddenly.
Well, let us say that Paris is also a magician.
Then I accept all the magic and don't question it. Oh, monsieur, I would love to see Paris with you.
We saw Paris. Ah, my friend, it is like being born again to see a world you knew through fresh eyes. She had taught such great wisdom to all the children in her classroom, and she had learned such great wisdom from them. The wisdom of wonder, the magic of discovery.
I'm sorry I've seen the Bois de Boulogne at dawn.
Why are you sorry?
Because I should like to see it again. For the first time.
Well, then we shall erase all memory of it and go there again at dawn tomorrow.
Oh, you're a wonderful man. My roommates brag so about the Frenchman they met. Helene's was a duke. Madeleine's was a baron.
Ooh.
But how can they compare with my Michelle?
Well, you know, when one is happy, one is a little blind.
Oh, I loved seeing the opera last night. It was so sad and so lovely. Oh, do you mind if we stop at the American Express office while we're here? I want to see if there's any mail. Perhaps one of my students has remembered his old maid school teacher.
But of course.
I'll just be a minute at the mail window.
Hi, Ruth.
Hello there, Ruth.
What a lucky coincidence. My roommates. Oh, I'm so anxious for you to meet them.
No,
oh,
please.
Three school teachers may be too much to take at one time, but you must
No,
meet them.
Another time.
Madeline, this is Michelle. My roommates, Miss Curtis, Miss Grace.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I don't understand.
No, please. Ladies, I'm enchanted to meet you both. Miss Ward has spoken a great deal about you.
We've heard a great deal about you, too.
Well, I'll just scoot over to see if there's any mail, and you three can get acquainted. Be right back.
What are you trying to do?
Helen, do you know him, too?
Why, of course, Helen. This is the Duke.
Miss Curtis.
This is the Baron who took me out.
Oh, What kind of a racket are you in? Whom are you trying to fool?
Miss Graves, Miss Curtis, I'm not a baron. I'm not a duke. I'm merely, well, my name is Michel.
What? We'll have to tell Ruth this man is nothing but a confidence man.
No, believe me. Last week when I took you dancing, Miss Curtis, and you, Miss Graves, I was, shall we say, a promoter, a publicity man for a fortune teller, a fabricator of futures. Well, I am that now, too, perhaps, but in a different way.
You're deceiving her.
Yes, but you see, Miss Curtis, when you told me about Miss Ward, I decided that for once in my life, deception could do some good. It's a harmless deception. Let it continue the few days that remain.
I'm going to tell her it's better that she knows.
No, please.
Thanks for waiting. One postcard from little tow-headed Ernie Marrow. He says he stopped reading so many comic books and he started reading Mark Twain. Oh, you see, maybe we do some good in this world after all.
Ruth.
Yes, dear?
There's something we have to tell you.
Yes?
We want you to know that...
Yes?
That your Frenchman is much nicer than either of ours.
Oh, yes, much nicer. Oh,
thank you, ladies. I thank you very much.
Madame Gobineau, where are you?
In here, Michel. The lifeline, the round of Venus.
Ah, yes, yes.
What on earth are you doing?
Telling a fortune.
Whose? There is nobody here.
My own.
What?
Why, do you know that all of Paris is talking about that American schoolteacher who had her fortune read by the fabulous Madame Gobineau? And then it all came true.
But you made it up. Or I made it up. And then I made it come true with your money.
Oh, don't talk to me about foolish details. I know now how accurate all my predictions are. Look, it's in my hand. It's all there in my hand.
What? What is in your hand?
I am about to meet a tall, dark, and handsome stranger.
And so you see, Mr. Conway, the circle was complete, and Madame Gobineau began to believe her own fortune-telling.
And the schoolteacher?
Oh, Miss Ward? Mm. She went back to America. I've never heard from her again.
Hmm.
But I believe that she found some happiness.
She sounds like a remarkable person. A woman like that should have had children of her own.
Oh, but she did, my friend, she did. Thousands and thousands.
It's amazing that a charlatan like Madame Gobineau should believe her own deception.
How do you feel about fortune-telling, Mr. Conway?
Oh, I don't believe in predicting the future. Not for a second. Of course, it would be nice to know if this particular story will sell to the movies. You don't happen to have Madame Gobineau's address handy?
Well, oh, my friend, how the future lures us all. You know, I think it would be more profitable if you just stayed here. Well, I tell you about the time a famous circus clown was premier of France for 24 hours.
Oh, go on, Michel. That sounds intriguing.
Yes, yes, my friend. But remember, this is another story and another $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. In the role of Bart Conway, you heard Hanley Stafford. Also in the cast were Gloria Gordon, Betty Moran, Sarah Selby, Lynn Ainley, and Margot Powers. Our show is directed by J. Donald Wilson. Tonight's script was written by Lawrence and Lee. Characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Voidier and Clement Scott Gilbert. Listen again next week at this same time to Presenting Charles Boyer. Programs, get your programs here. Tomorrow night on NBC, hear action-packed adventure and mystery as Mr. District Attorney solves another crime. Hear a big story from the front pages of America's newspapers. And listen to Dick Powell starred as Richard Diamond. Be sure to hear these three great shows tomorrow night on NBC. This is Don Stanley speaking. There's excitement in Big Town next on NBC.